This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's learn some chords.
This is E sus 4.
This is B7 sus 4. Okay, you now know enough guitar to get you laid.
I've been working from home with somebody in the night. Can't get my go-kart feeling cause I can't connect. I need some help, my girlfriend doesn't wear a mask. I know just the right to do it for me to ask. If I were you, here's what I'd do. Take some advice from a chipmunk and I guess Jake too. If I were you, here's what they'd do. The life was saved by these two Jews. Not all heroes wear grapes, yeah, I swear it's gold. Give this man a golden mic before I get old. Some unsolicited advice, now I'll be prompt. But you're gonna wanna buy some cookies from Jake's mom. If I were you, here's what they'd do. If I were you, show at Gmail to get in the queue. I don't know.
That was free falling, I think. Ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba. You gotta.
Yeah, that was me. That was me 11 years ago.
Oh wow! I thought that was you. All right, sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were actually just saying that at the end of the song, which would have been a solid bit.
Yeah. Does your voice change? Like, I guess I sound the same between the ages of 25 and 37, right? My voice shouldn't change that much.
I would think so. Yeah, I think you do. I think nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Maybe a tiny bit. A little bit of gravel. A little bit of wear and tear, some age, you know, like the fire, the passion is gone.
Yeah,
you just sort of sound like you're phoning in all the time. That kind of vibe.
But
I think like, yeah, no, like
if you heard a 60-year-old talking, would it be like that guy could be 30?
I don't think so. But maybe.
I
do feel like I could tell when I'm on the phone with people if they're old or not, but maybe I can't.
Right. Or does it just like happen one day? Or is it a gradual, such subtle shift that over the course of 30 years, you can't really tell the difference?
Maybe it's gradual, but it feels like after 75, like my grandfather had the oldest voice you could imagine.
Right.
You know?
When did that start?
Mm-hmm. When he was 40, I think.
He turned into a grandfather.
Oh, whoa.
As soon as you're child as a child, you become an old man voiced man.
Hmm. I wonder, maybe, because that's sort of like the voice you choose to adopt to talk to your grandchild in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's baby talk, but then there's like grandma and grandpa talk.
Yeah, the grandbaby talk, that's what they call it.
That's right.
This guy, Grayson Kelly, picked up a guitar in 2009 shortly after watching a College Humor video. Was it coincidence or an inspiration? Who's to say?
Wow.
And then the shout out is that he makes music as eponymous postman on Bandcamp. But it sounds nothing like this. So save the energy and donate to your local Black Lives Matter movements instead, is what he says.
I love this guy already. So someone support his art. Yeah. That's awesome.
So maybe you could do both. Maybe you could check out eponymous postman and then also a local Black Lives Matter movement. So there's time for both.
Definitely.
All right. That was a long theme song to get us here. But you know what? We're recording a little late today, Monday, June 29th. Gonna just
very late
record, upload right away. One of those quick turnaround episodes.
Love it.
It's pretty exciting to you because you're now not only doing a podcast with me as like a entertainer of sorts, but I'm also a gamer now, which is kind of, I don't know, nice for you to have it that way, for me to be like a multi-hyphenate. News.
Don't share news this
it's
way. Like, you're
so
new self
dawn. For you, because you have this kinship with somebody who not only
feel like you're
has a Switch,
super insecure,
but has
like you
a
have to
Twitch.
Be, you're insecure, you know. Like that's why you share news this way. That's why you tell
for
me
you
that it's
to
good
do
for
it
me.
This way is awesome.
You can't just
because now you
can't
get
just
to tell
give me an update, and I decide if it's good or not.
It's great. It's great or not. and it is it's actually good or great.
Well, I mean, I don't love the premise because the premise is
the promise of the premise is that I'm a gamer / twitcher / streamer.
Actually, that was the upshot. The premise was that I already have a great job doing a podcast with you because you're a star and a celebrity. That was the premise.
That was the starting
which
point.
Which I reject on its face.
Yeah.
The starting point was that I have respect for you and your craft.
You want to...
At all.
Yeah, you want to sort of have as many pots on the kettle going, as they say. So I am a wordsmith, a songstress, a seamster,
a
teamster,
you are
a twitcher, a switcher, and a candlestick streamer.
So you're streaming now. You have a Twitch.
In a way, I am. Yeah, I started a Twitch first just for fun, and now it's sort of a passion project meets Peach Pit of sorts. So I'll eat this stone fruit and play Mario Kart.
Okay.
And by the end of the hour, I've made friends with new fans, and they're watching me play, and I'm playing along with them, if that makes sense.
How does it work? Stone fruit aside, you do what? Why does anybody give a shit
Jesus
about...
Jesus Christ, what's with the third degree?
Humanfeld. I'm just chatting. I'm just asking.
No, I'm really, like, I'm taken aback by it, the questions. Like, just say that's an awesome, new, exciting thing, and I'm honored to be in your presence. You don't have to be like... How does it work?
So you have like a script for exactly how you wanted this to. What do you? I feel like it's supportive to ask these questions and to learn more.
It is supportive and it's nice, but I feel like you're putting on airs. Like you don't sincerely think that it's an amazing thing for me to do it this way. The Twitch.
Well, maybe I don't. Like I don't feel like I should have to think it's amazing right from the jump. Like I'm allowed to ask questions and then decide later on down the road. Like right now I'm like, oh, this sounds intriguing. I want to hear. Look at, you're getting so, you're,
you should have to win
me
over.
Why you
I should
have to,
you should be begging me to be a fan of me, and I have to consider it at the end of the conversation. And honestly, I'm leaning very heavily towards I don't think so.
So I don't even get to ask like how Twitch works. I need to like grovel for your love and support. I need to beg you to be a fan of you, and you might say no.
You need to grovel.
Like I don't even know if I could be a fan of you on Twitch. Like if there's a follow, if there's a like, but you're against me even asking questions. Like maybe honestly, you'd maybe want to share the URL for people, but you don't want me to ask what it is. You just want me to say, oh, that's great. You're amazing and move on.
No, not move on anymore. Because I don't think I even want to.
Let's just get right into the show.
Wait.
Let's get right into the show.
Now we're glossing over it. And I want to spend at least an hour promoting, self-promoting.
Waxing promotional.
And you should, you should not only be groveling, you should be graveling, as in take two knees on a hot cement day and beg me to be a fan of me.
Just tell me what it is.
Good question.
I don't even know what it is yet. Yeah. You said you eat a stone fruit and play Mario Kart.
So I'll,
and I have to beg to be a fan.
I'll have a plum and play as Peach, if that makes sense. Well, I got a capture card, of course. It allows me to play these games while also streaming that game live to whoever wants to watch it on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/AmirBlumenfeld. Okay, so far,
if I went
I've done
to it right now. Do you have like a twitch.tv/AmirBlumenfeld?
So far, okay, I've done two streams, which is pretty prolific for a couple weeks. One of them is me playing Zelda, Super Nintendo Zelda, while Ben. See,
the other one is titled Carton and Fartin.
The other one was Carton and Fartin, in which I was trying to finish first place in a Mario race. And it took a little over 2 hours, which seems like a long time. And it was, as I slowly went insane, and people were sort of trolling me in the chat, on the stream, in the Twitch, on the day, in a way. Wish you could have been there.
I wish so, too. I didn't know that if it's like a thing that I get to just, a 2 hour stream yesterday.
So that
if I can just log on and troll you, that sounds kind of good.
That was supposed to take 10 minutes. Every race takes 2 minutes, and I thought I would do it within like 5 or 6 races, and it took like 30 to 40, and I was streaming for 2 hours.
Were you coming in second a lot?
You know, I wasn't. I actually didn't even get very close very often. So I would finish 7th, 12th, 8th, 6th, and not really sniff the final two for a little bit.
Do the people that you're racing know that you're streaming? Like, do they know that they're part of a Twitch stream, or is it just sort of like an like they're just racing for their own?
That's right. They're having fun at home, and they don't realize that they're actually the enemies in the story, the web that I'm like spinning.
And they might be twitching. They might be streaming and twitching you also.
Yeah,
right.
That's possible.
Okay.
Nobody's signing a release because I can't really. I mean, I guess I see their usernames. There was this one guy who was in there for an hour called Ryan who kept beating me. And I sort of started creating stories with Ryan and how like I really needed to beat Ryan and my goal in life was to beat Ryan, and Ryan kept on beating me, and then he finally finished first and just left. So Ryan sort of, without knowing, ruined my stream. And then once he left, a lot of people left because people were more interested in Ryan than in me racing.
Ryan's awesome.
Yeah, so Ryan was sort of the man slash the B story of the stream.
And still is.
Yeah, and Ryan, Ryan, hit me up because I want to give you this podcast as a token of my esteem.
I would love to host this thing with Ryan. He probably would be like a little.
He was good, yeah.
I don't know.
It was funny.
Yeah, like just better. Yeah. I was going to say like a couple specific ways, but I guess like better, just better generally.
Yeah, because like, he has better. Yeah, he has better racing and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, he's better. I mean, well, that goes without saying because he was kicking your ass on the Twitch, but I feel like he's just like. More humble, smarter, better lover,
he seemed like a good
better
guy.
Listener, better companion. Yeah.
Ryan.
Ryan.
And his name was just Ryan. Everyone else has a nickname or like, you know, your handle, but not Ryan. Ryan was just like, I'm going to put
don't
my
need
name.
A handle. When your name is Ryan, that's all you need.
Jack Ryan.
So wait, people can hear you. Can you hear them? Are there people talking like on these streams or is it just you? Everyone, like if I'm tuning in, what's my sensory... what's pinging,
what are you getting? It's a video on me and then the video of the screen of the game, and then people can like my friends can sign into the audio channel chat that I'm having. So like a couple days ago I played Zelda while Ben was sort of guiding me through the level, so you can hear Ben, you
and
can
you
see
hear
me
Ben.
And see the game.
Cool.
With Mario Kart,
see, and like
me.
People's comments and stuff, are you reading comments as all of this is happening? Are you sort of like your eyes are on the game and talking to Ben, and the comments are flying by, and that's not really like what you're there for?
That's right. I can't pay attention while I'm racing to the comments, but like in between races, I'll read the comments. So like I'll finish in 12th, and then I'll look to the comments, and people start weighing in, telling me how shitty I raced, and then I'm back in the race, and I go.
So it's not like a straight up like. Live stream like we used to do it where we would just like sit there and read the comments and be like, oh, it's Claire's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah,
cool. It's more University of Michigan,
right? Kind of thing. I'm like that's interacting with the game while the chat's going on in the background, rather than me just.
And the chat's interacting with. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I've streamed a couple times on Twitch as well.
Right, so you get it
for D&D, but never video games. We're just streaming like, I'm like basically just streaming a Zoom call, so I'm not like looking at the Twitch either. Oh. So that makes sense. I kind of like that. It's like the chat's there for the people that are watching the stream, but it's not necessarily there for the streamer. Because I feel like that always just devolves into just like someone rattling off shout outs.
Yeah. Or like, what else? What else? Reading comments occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been playing any new games recently? I saw that you had finally downloaded Witcher.
Yeah. Where did you see that? How did you know?
It like appears in my friends list, like what games my friends are playing.
That's so invasive. I wish it wouldn't do that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right here. It says you logged 17 hours yesterday on Animal Crossing and 2 on Witcher. And then, whoa, this is weird. It usually so doesn't say such low. Detail. It says you rage quit. So, like, that's cool. It uploaded an audio of you. Hold on one second.
I think I might have. I feel like I checked a
box. Whoa, that's cool. Okay. I guess when you, like, reach
so
that.
Checked, I think I checked a box that I meant to leave unchecked. Yeah. I didn't know that they could record me. And share that with friends.
Hold on,
widely.
Here's you mashing the button, sort of mouth breathing while you play. Okay. This is cool. It's like a really high quality WAV file that it uploaded to my page.
So it's only a WAV file. They didn't. I'm just hoping there's no way they could like capture video.
HD video. I don't know how this happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is
did they
insane.
Send you like what a DSLR that you set up or something?
I don't know if I checked it or left it unchecked. Like, am I supposed to check?
This is
something
a really unflattering
like,
angle.
Video. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, this game is a surveillance of sorts. Awesome. I'll upload this to my Twitch later.
Please don't. I did download The Witcher.
And?
It took me a long time because it's so big that I couldn't just download it on the Switch that I had. I had to like go get a tiny little mini SD card.
Wow.
Which took me a little while because it wasn't a high priority.
Next level.
But then I finally did. I have it, and it is awesome. I really love it.
That's cool. It's not too difficult. The so far, the hardest thing was actually getting the game to start.
Yeah, downloading the game and getting the SD card was super hard. I'm also playing on like the first level above story mode. So I'm not like, it's not hard. So much of it is just like really awesomely animated cutscenes. It feels almost like I'm just watching like a really high quality fantasy cartoon of The Witcher.
Right.
And then like there are times when I'm like just watching the story unfold and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, gameplay now. I'm like, oh, damn it. I have to like fucking move this horse to a tavern. All right, one second. And then I'll get to the fucking good shit.
Let me just beat this bad guy so the story can continue.
Yeah, I think the game is like huge that in a way that's like a little intimidating. There's all these side quests and stuff. And I have like OCD about finishing everything, but I also don't want to get like bogged down with like I don't know just hunting it or like gathering food for a village or something, you know.
Right.
I want to just like fight the big bad guy and that's it.
Yeah, get me to the end as fast as possible. Basically it's an audiobook with visuals and then occasionally you're slaying a monster.
Yeah, that's basically it. But like the voice acting is amazing. It's really great to watch.
Are you playing on the handheld style or up on a big TV?
Handheld still. I have not played. This is something I would maybe play on the TV. I would definitely do that, but I haven't done it yet. I was only playing Animal Crossing before, and there's really no reason to play that on a television.
Yeah, if anything, it's more shameful to see this giant animated pig that you're controlling while you're watching basically a children's story.
I know, and like it was barely worth playing on the Switch, just the handheld.
Are you off Crossing entirely?
I haven't picked it up in a pretty long time. I think it's been a couple weeks. I feel like the world would have to feel way more normal or better or good for the first time ever for me to feel like, okay, I'm going to go back to 69 land and plant some apples.
At least you got a good username.
I don't know why I feel like I can do that with The Witcher, but yeah, I mean, it. Every time I play Animal Crossing now, it just feels like very quaint.
Is your nickname or your screen name on Animal Crossing was Yak, YAK, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same as Witcher in other games, or was that just an Animal Crossing name?
I think that was just an Animal Crossing, because, or maybe it's that in like Mario Kart 2. It's just when I have to like choose a name. But in The Witcher, I'm Geralt of Rivia, so I can't really call him Yak.
Geralt?
And I wouldn't want to. Geralt.
Like Harold with a G?
Well, it's like Harold with a T, and then a G, Geralt.
Did you choose that, or is that the name of the guy in the game?
It's the guy. That's the only guy that you can be. His name is Geralt.
Call me Gary.
Please don't, actually. Geralt is... Geralt. All of the names in it are super weird, but I think it's like Norwegian or some kind of like Slavic thing.
Oh, interesting.
So, maybe that's why.
Here's a question we got from a guy named Geralt. Ready?
Wow, snuck that one in. That was interesting. I like that.
Geralt.
That's a fun little hosting mechanism. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been practicing via my stream. Geralt writes, I'll keep this short. How far are you willing to let your beards grow during quarantine? I feel like the country's standards for physical appearance has collectively dropped thanks to COVID and the lack of physical interaction. Any hankerings for facial hair experimentation? Thanks. Love, Geralt.
I've mostly been shaving my beard.
Yeah.
I had a mustache when quarantine first started, and then I shaved it. Then I grew kind of a beard. Then I just been kind of shaving.
Have you been like, have you ever like in the last 3 months, like showered, put on a nice shirt, tucked in, nice pants, and presented yourself physically? Like, I haven't gotten ready for something important since February, it feels like. I've just been wearing like sweats and shorts for the last 5 months.
I definitely early on was like, I can't wear sweats all the time. So I like will shower and put product in my hair. And
oh, really?
Comb it, and not like wear like a nice button-down shirt and shoes, but like I'll wear things that aren't sweats.
Yeah,
like nicer t-shirts or something.
And that's just like for yourself to feel like you're doing a productive part of society.
Yeah, I feel like there've been a couple times where there was like a Zoom birthday party or a Zoom happy hour that I like put on a collared shirt for, and I showered for, and it felt nice. I also straight up put on a tuxedo for the Dungeons and Dragons finale live stream.
Wow.
The NADPOD finale.
How did that feel?
And that was fun.
A tuxedo.
It felt great. Yeah.
I don't think I've buttoned a button in a while.
Yeah. And I like put on like the legit like tuxedo shirt with like the stud buttons.
Wow.
And my cufflinks. I also wear a lot of jewelry underneath it, just so I feel like I got really dressed up. I had two necklaces on and a ring.
Wow, I didn't realize you have a ring just for exciting, important days of your life.
Well, somebody sent, it was like a NADPOD present, like somebody made a hard won Surefoot ring out of like sterling silver or pewter or something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Some hammered metal.
It looked pewter from here. I could see that.
It was pewter.
Yeah, it would have been cuter if it
was a pewter ring.
But yeah, I feel like beard-wise, you've had a bigger beard in regular life. That's almost you showing effort.
It's the mask. Like, it's so uncomfortable to wear a mask with a beard and to sweat. Like, my face just gets too hot.
Yeah. Is it hot and sweltering in NYC still?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's fucking, it's brutal. But I kind of love it. I love the New York City summer. I love getting drenched in sweat when I go outside.
Are people still,
as long as I'm prepared for it mentally.
Yeah, are people still wearing a mask despite the humidity, or have masks rates dropped?
In the parks that I've, like, when I mostly like run or bike or work out in the parks when I'm going outside. Like, if I'm outside, it's to exercise, but mostly I see people like doing everything in masks. Yesterday it was like 90 degrees and I ran the bridge, and most of the people I saw were wearing masks.
Holy shit. Running in that heat, wearing a mask additionally? Holy crap.
Yeah. I like, when I'm running, I mostly keep my mask like at my chin, and then when I'm passing people, I pull it up.
I see.
So it's not like there all the time. And when I put it up, it's like very hard, but I don't have to run for very long. It's like 10 seconds when I see someone till when I pass them, and then I pull it down.
Holy shit. It seems intense.
I feel like the more than beards, we're like growing out our hair.
Yeah, that's the last thing I haven't touched since quarantine started. I think my last haircut was in February, so in July it'll be 5 months. August, half a year.
That's crazy. Do you want a haircut? Or are you kind of digging the, I mean, you got headbands.
Yeah. I sort of do want a haircut just to see like what this looks like cleaned up. But then at the same time, I'm like, let's see what happens if I continue this. Although it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I sort of know what's happening. It's just getting bushier and bushier and like turning into like a helmet of fuzzy, ratty, dry ass hair.
I think it looks awesome. Eventually it's going to start to fall and then it's going to be like shoulder length fucking hair like Geralt of Rivia. Tie it back in a fucking half bun.
That's cool. That's a man bun.
He does like a half pony, actually. That's what he does.
I kind of want the sides to be shorter because it's like covering my ears and getting a little uncouth, ratty, straggly hairs. Mm.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, let's take a break. Thank some sponsors. We'll come back with more questions and answers after these messages.
All right.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's more fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitnessnah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that. I did. Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money. And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five. gross.
I don't think I do, but I think you do.
Yeah, I bought recently a portable projector. Again, I don't want to say any brand names. They're not paying us for this endorsement. Mm-hmm. But there are many options for like basically soda can sized projectors that you just plop down and can shoot an image up to 100 inches of, you know, streaming content. You can put Netflix on the thing, shoot it against your wall indoors or outdoors. Perfect for outdoor movie nights.
And it's, that's a it's fun affordable. Way to spend the summer. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I need a, I tried it last week and it worked out. I was projecting it against this pretty dark exterior wall of my house. So I'm wondering if I should shoot it into like a whiter screen. Like I have to get a light screen now to watch the videos, the movies.
I feel like I heard that like just a bed sheet will work.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, if I actually staple my mattress over my door, kind of like zombie apocalypse style, then I can just plop the projector down there and use it
you
that way.
You could watch like a zombie, Welcome to Zombieland. Zombieland, is that a movie?
Yeah, Zombieland. Movie, right? Zombieland is for
Zombieland.
Sure.
Zombieland. You could watch that. Yeah, you could watch that as a movie on the mattress.
On the house.
Full on zombie style. Yeah, on the day.
That's cool. So yeah, that's my unsolicited advice. Get yourself a portable projector. I always thought projectors were like big old things in high school classes clunky. That had to be hardwired. And I think the nice ones
right.
do.
I remember I had a projector instead of a TV in my apartment once.
Yeah, but you had to like
and
plug
it was
it
really
in.
Cool. But it was not like you could never just like casually like flip something on. It was an endeavor.
Yeah. And it was it's harder awesome. It's hard to watch during the day because it's already very bright in there.
Right. So did you watch, you had like an outdoor movie night with Avital?
Yeah. We had my buddies, Sean and Christina over. So we had four of us distanced, masked, outdoors, watching Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
That's a fun little time.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
That movie.
Was it a good movie?
It's so silly. I haven't watched it in a while. Obviously, I loved it like as a 9-year-old, but watching it as like a 37-year-old, like, wow, this movie is like basically like an hour and 10 minutes long of just Jim Carrey being insane, and then it ends. It almost could be like a TV show. It's like such a short, crazy movie.
It's kind of funny. Like, I can't imagine. I feel like when we talk about writing comedy movies now, we're like talking about writing them for like our peers to think they're funny. But like, do you think anybody that wrote Jim Carrey was like, oh, okay, good. Like all of my comedy colleagues are also going to love this. Or are they just like, yeah, like 12-year-olds will think this is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know if like, did Jim Carrey write it or they just like outlined it and threw it at Jim Carrey and they're like, all right, Jim, you do the rest. Because like so much
just
of
do
it
a bunch of stuff here.
Yeah, like when he's talking out of his ass for 3.5 minutes or like pretending to be like this football player in a tutu at an insane asylum. Did they script that part or they just like pointed the camera at Jim and told him to be funny?
That's really weird. I maybe we should start thinking about being writers and just sort of think about like coming up with a character for someone like Jim Carrey.
Yeah. First, you That's just have to need. Find someone who's so funny that like you don't really have to write anything. You just say like, be funny. And then a Jim Carrey type would do it.
The world will never have another Jim Carrey.
He's still doing it. I saw the Sonic movie. He's still hilarious in that, like 30 years later.
Yeah. So there's still time.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we write Sonic 2, starring our friend Ben Schwartz and Jim Carrey, like that's easy.
We have a line into the guy.
That's right.
Like Ben, I'm actually kind of pissed because like I feel like Ben hasn't like mentioned us to him, to Jim.
Yeah, I don't think he would because, I mean, they didn't necessarily even shoot together. It was just Ben's voice. Right, so like, I don't know
yeah,
how
they did like a press tour together. So it'd just be interesting if Ben would have like brought us up to be like, you should work with these guys. I think that would be, I mean, I'd appreciate that. I don't know if you give a shit, but I think that'd be pretty cool.
Even if he did do that, and he definitely did not, what do you think Jim would be like? Yeah, thanks for letting me know about these two fucking dudes. These two podcasters
awesome.
That you think I should work with.
That's cool. He knows we have a podcast. Okay, Mr. Carey, if you're listening, I have an idea for an Ace Ventura 3 or 4.
Yeah. And a hilarious thing that didn't age well in Ace Ventura. I don't know if you remember. You probably remember this part, but forget how trans slash homophobic it was when he finds out that the person he kissed was actually a guy, proceeds puke, shower, cry, brush his tongue. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe I fight. They didn't even have sex. He's like, kissed a guy. And then at the end, they see her dick, and every police person starts vomiting. Jesus Christ.
That's definitely not good. Yeah. So, okay, never mind. Maybe we shouldn't have anything to do with the franchise.
It was problematic for sure, but the parts that weren't were very silly and entertaining still.
Mm.
So shout out to Jim Carrey for spending an evening with us, and get yourself a portable projector if possible.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Next questions?
Yes.
Oh, we actually got a follow-up pub from last week's episode. Remember... The dude who was writing in about his lady getting potentially sugar daddied by a guy in Texas?
Yes, I do.
So this sugar daddy figure wanted to send this dude's girlfriend cash just to chat with him. And we told him that, like, you know, you can't necessarily put your foot down and tell your girlfriend what not to do, but you can, you know, let her know that it makes you feel uncomfortable and make her make her own decision, and hopefully it aligns with yours. So this is what happened.
Right.
This man writes, so my girlfriend and I talked about it, and after coming to the unanimous conclusion that this guy was a creep after all, she had the idea that instead of just blocking him, we should play some kind of prank on him to get back at him for creeping on young girls. This is not what we recommended. He went off book. He went rogue.
He went rogue.
So she kept up the act for another day or so, with him not knowing we live in Toronto. She expressed that she wanted to meet him since DM wasn't enough. So she just named some obscure Texan location, and I guess he drove there to find no one was there, and at which point she blocked him. So she sort of trolled. She basically turned this guy into Mickey, being like, hey, I'm here in this mall. Yeah. Do you see me? No, that's right, because I'm not there, Mickey. And then she blocked him. So this guy just sort of drove to meet a girl, and then nobody was there.
They sort of John Wolfed him.
Yeah, because it wasn't illegal what they did.
Yeah, just very inconvenient for him.
Yeah, but ultimately he can't be like, hey, I was fucking sugar daddying up this 17-year-old, 18-year-old on Instagram and she lied to me. You can't complain about that.
Yeah, that's I guess you guys it's sort of weird to me that they just blocked him. Like, don't you want to see how the prank unfolds?
I guess they didn't want to see the part where he says, what the fuck is your problem? I'm going to yell at you or do something mean or say something bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that he gets sad instead of angry, but we'll never know.
No, nor should we. All right, here's a real question from a British bloke. What's another character from The Witcher?
Yennefer. It's a woman, but that'll work.
All right, we'll call this guy Jens. I'm a 25-year-old Brit and have spent the majority of lockdown hunkered with my nightmare housemate. This guy moved in a few days before lockdown began and initially seemed nice and quiet. All the good ones do at first, I guess. The issue is I frequently walked into the kitchen to find him doing something foul, including eating a bowl full of pure minced beef, drinking a pint of full fat milk, eating yogurt with his hands, or pouring bacon fat directly down the kitchen sink, leading to a 2-day blockage.
Oh, dear.
Not only
2-day blockage.
Not only this, but he appears to buy bags of full meat on clearance and then leaves them out on the counter for days since there's no room left in the fridge. This results in him throwing away a small garbage bag or two full of rotten meat that then sits in the garden until collected. Several times now, this has led to writhing piles of maggots appearing. And aside from him slowly killing himself with his diet, it's gotten to the point where I feel physically disgusted to be in the kitchen while he's eating. What would you do in this situation? He's 24 and by now should have learned to feed himself or how to be a courteous housemate. I've considered talking to him about it, but this feels too much to try to explain to him all at once. Should I speak up or just ride it out till the end of the lockdown? Thanks. Love. Jens.
Okay. Jens. the meat on the counter, the slowly rotting counter meat.
This guy's like a zombie or something, or an alien in a Men in Black movie. What is he doing?
Yeah. I mean, there's parts, I feel like that it's all like case by case, because there's some stuff like him eating yogurt with his hands is super foul, but you shouldn't necessarily go to your roommate and be like, hey, you have to use a spoon because I'm like feeling grossed out.
Yeah.
But you can be like, hey, you're leaving meat to rot on the counter, or you're wrecking the plumbing of our ancient British house. You can say stuff about, it sounds like half the stuff that he's doing.
Yeah. It seems like you have to draw the line at something Dave Rosenberg would or would not do. Like, what can you imagine him doing of this stuff, and what could you imagine it being even too much for Dave?
Oh, God, all of Dave would do all of this stuff.
Including the rotten meat.
Actually, all right, no, I think Dave might. Dave cooks a lot of bacon. I think he would not pour the bacon grease right down. He knows not to do that.
That's good.
And I don't think he'd leave meat to rot on the counter.
Right.
I think he wouldn't do those things.
Okay, so you basically
yogurt with his hands,
there.
Dave would do.
Yeah,
Dave would do that. Drinking the milk, that he would definitely do that. Yeah, he'd do everything else.
So I think you could say, listen, man, like, yogurt with your hands, like you said, that's fine. But as soon as it starts encroaching on my ability to stay healthy, you can have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like liquid rotten meat juice on the counter is bad for your health. It's not just like a gross thing to see or deal with in the apartment.
Exactly.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's a risk. It's a hazard.
Yeah.
Same with like the drains getting fucked up. That's your security deposit, but that's cash. That's money in your pocket that he's taking from you.
And I like to, during these things, I like to like sort of sarcastically / passive aggressively start it with like, I have this weird thing where I'm like super sensitive to bags of rotten fucking beef everywhere and the maggots. I am a weirdo like that. I guess you can call me
that's
a
just
sensitive
me.
Flower. So that way you can be like, no, you're right. That is crazy. Or you'd be like, yeah, all right, you're a sensitive guy, but I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. I feel like I'm so passive that I would just be like, hey, do you want me to throw out that meat that's on the counter? Because I think it's going
no,
bad.
No, I don't think so. I'll take a look at it later. Are the maggots on it yet?
Meat can keep at room temperature for 48 hours.
Head spinning, mucus coming out of every pore of his face.
Yeah, you could be like, hey, do you think I should order more spoons? Because I noticed that you didn't have one the other day for your yogurt.
I had a spoon. I prefer to lick it off my fucking salty ass sweat palms.
I'm gonna be drinking bacon grease out of the drain.
Don't move it, because I sort of spoon it out of the drain after it solidifies, and I eat it like a pudding.
Yeah.
All right, let us know what he says, how it goes.
Yeah, please keep us posted.
One last mini question that's sort of a follow-up pup in my life.
Interesting.
A guy named Tom. I'll just call him Tom because whatever. This is not a shameful question. Yeah. What can I do for my weak little sage plant? It's so small. Then he attached a photo of his sage plant, which is reminiscent.
You said this wasn't a weak. Oh, you said this wasn't a. You said it wasn't an embarrassing question.
Yeah, well, it's not really.
It's super lame. It's about fucking growing herb. He is a herb for growing herbs.
This sage is indeed weak and still 10 times stronger than the one I'm trying to salvage. I don't know if I've given a follow-up, but I was able to save just one of my sage stalks with the help of your sister, Sarah, the professional herbologist of my life.
Wait, so what did Sarah tell you to do that worked?
For my basil, it looked dry, so water it and keep it in the shade until it starts getting looking healthy again, which is true, it has been. And then for the sage, she said, replant one of them and keep it watered, but not too watered. Water deeply, but not often, that it likes dry atmosphere, and keep an eye on see if there's new growth, and when you replant it, plant it all the way up to like the first leaf. So
okay,
that helped me. I have,
and that worked
well. Worked is subjective. I definitely have one sage stalk with four leaves on it for now, so I had one stalk with two leaves on it, so I've grown two extra leaves. So the plant itself, I wouldn't say plant because it's one like little stalk, but it's still alive. So I'm considering that a victory.
And what happened
so
to the
far.
Ones you tried to replant that you put in the water?
The one in the water died, didn't grow roots. I don't know where that information came from because I tried that with the basil now, and the basil one, again, not growing roots. This idea of propagation from clipping where you clip it off and put 2 inches of the stalk in water and roots will just fucking pour out of it after a couple weeks.
Yeah, it seems magic.
It seems like magic, and maybe it works sometimes. I don't know if I did something wrong or if it's just like, yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. We just don't know.
Is your goal eventually to have a big healthy sage plant that you're like picking leaves from like once a week for dinner? That's the goal.
That is the ultimate goal, but I think I need to call this current iteration of sage, which I started with like 10 seeds and I'm now down to one stalk, and the basil, I think I have to call this like a preamble, a forward, a practice round. Because what I need to do is like buy healthy plants, put them in nice, loamy, damp soil in a big fucking bed and start from there. I think I don't want to be able to like take it from seed and cultivate it and grow it from there. I think I have to just start a little further on.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know now, I think I can keep a relatively small plant alive and grow it from there.
It seems like it's just not worth the trouble to start from seed when like you can buy these, like how expensive are the plants at a nursery?
No, not expensive at all.
So it's more just like a passion project thing.
Yeah. It's like a pride thing. It's like, I didn't have to fucking skip a level. I didn't use a warp whistle. I took this from literally like little fucking seeds that are the size of like little poppy seeds. And now look at this bush. Isn't that
I'm
incredible?
Not playing The Witcher on story mode.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
I get it. And, yeah, I see.
And having failed at that, I'm now ready to use the warp whistle. I've earned, I think, my way because I've kept two plants half alive for this long. So now I'm ready to just be like, all right, let me fast forward and see if I can keep full on.
Yeah, it wasn't a completely failed experiment. It was just you got like a C- or a D.
Yeah,
you know?
I passed. So I'm ready to move on to like herbs 201. Which I think I'll be better at having struggled with the first phase.
Yeah, that's cool.
I also think I'm putting too much stock in these too. Like when you have plants and when you have like an herb garden, you just fucking, you grow a shit ton of stuff and some stuff dies and you prune and you cut and you use the good stuff and you discard the bad. Right now I'm like counting every leaf and be like, ooh, I'm losing one leaf. Oh God.
Yeah.
Which is like nice to have in the beginning, but like I think I'm putting too much pressure on these small
right,
amounts.
You better
of leaves
be were
that
an herb man.
Yeah, I have to just fucking.
So are you gonna build beds in your backyard? That's what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't know about building beds, but yeah, I can buy a bed, put some nice soil in there, and like buy like smaller plants.
Skip a plant level, them. Buy the bed.
That's right.
Buy it all.
Yeah, and then use the bed to project as a screen to project the movies. But I watched a full masterclass with Avital about gardening. That was very helpful.
Do you think you want to be a gardener? Like, what if quarantine just got lifted tomorrow and you were allowed to go back to the office if you wanted? Would you be like, oh, good? Or would you be like, I kind of want to work from home and be a gardener, though?
I would instantly break these plants. I would use them as shoes and I would destroy them with my feet on my way to my car to go to an office.
Yeah. And I can get breakfast at Dunkin'. I don't need herbs.
I'll buy a fucking bag of frozen basil at Amazon.com's Whole Foods 365 on the way to a board meeting. And I'll let it fucking spoil and I won't think twice about throwing it away. And my compost, I'll fucking shove it down the hill. Did I tell you we bought a compost and we're trying to do that as well to create soil?
Wow, this is coming full circle. When we first moved to LA, I bought a compost.
I know.
5 whole years ago. And 6 years ago.
It didn't really work, right?
Yeah, it worked. I mean, it worked a little bit. It never turned into like full-on soil.
Yeah.
It was like still doing that when we moved. But I mean, like the point of it is that it gets like full of like flies and worms and shit. So moving from one house to another, we were just like, let's leave the compost.
Yeah.
But it had started to work.
That's good. Yeah, I'm kind of a compost skeptic. I'm like, how is this fucking rotten mound of bananas and leaves going to turn into soil? But I guess it does.
Yeah. I mean, it is nasty. I remember every time I like took anything out to the compost, I was like afraid to open it because I just knew that like there are fucking maggots crawling around in it.
That's right. And pretty soon, if all goes well, I'll be... I think, like, to answer your question truthfully, it's like this gardening thing could be like a fun hobby of mine. So I'm not putting so much pressure into these like two plants. I'm just like, you know, I have this like thing going on outside that we can help cultivate.
Yeah. Los Angeles is a great place for a garden. You guys could grow stuff year round.
That's what the gangster gardener said on the masterclass. He's like, you have to know your climate. He's like, if you're on the East Coast, you have to like time things out to be like after the first frost and before the fall comes. If you're in LA, you could do whatever you want all the time. So
yeah, that's awesome. I think there was a print that Jillian had that like, it was really beautiful, but it like basically had like the month and then the fruits and vegetables that were in season in every single month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause I think that like, you can grow year round, but there's still like things that have growing seasons in LA.
There are some crazy things that he was doing on this masterclass. He's like, I like growing sweet potato. I take this burlap sack from a coffee place. It's like this huge ass fucking potato sack. I put these like sweet potato like clumps in there in this soil. And then 4 months later, I slice the bottom of the bag open and a bunch of sweet potatoes come out. I'm like, is that fucking possible? What? How is that? He like takes the knots from existing sweet potatoes and slices them up, and like one sweet potato becomes 12 after 4 months of like living in a fucking bag of old soil. I guess that works.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll get myself a burlap sack. I have a feeling I'm going to slice it out and like one moldy peach will come down.
And you'll have to eat it.
Oh, it's so good. Because I made it from seed.
While you're watching The Mask in your backyard.
For the 15th time. All right, that's the updates for now. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for your theme songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you have any more of either, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song, remember, was that epic, absolutely savage ballad by Grayson Kelly, a.k.a. the eponymous postman. This closing one is from our most prolific songwriter, Justin Goncalves, I believe.
Goncalves.
Who made a Smash Mouth parody for us. Very nice.
Hell yeah, I can't wait.
For more of us, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/JA for a weekly video. We're also part of The HeadGum Podcast, which is the title of the new HeadGum Podcast.
Correct. Love that show.
Every week, I think it's on Fridays, it's Jeffrey hosting and a rotating cast and crew of HeadGum friends and family. So check that out as well. And as always, we'll be back next week. Don't worry, it won't be late next time. Hopefully.
Yeah, next week we're gonna be on time.
Probably.
We're gonna record on Friday this week.
Wow.
Okay? How's that sound?
Wow.
How's that sound, motherfucker?
It won't be as topical, so if something insane happens over the weekend, we won't address it, but we'll definitely have an episode ready to go.
That's right.
All right. Enjoy this song and we'll be back next week. Bye everybody.
Later.
Some show that's a podcast is getting even bigger. I think they even got a network. It was sounding kind of fun with the network named HeadGum. And the show is called If I Were You Who. Well, the views start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to our ears and I hit the ground laughing. Doesn't make sense half the time. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to hear, so much to fear. So what's wrong with having a problem? You'll never know if you don't send. You'll never know what can happen. If I were you who gets your show on, hit play. Hey now, get the 5 stars, they deserve it. Okay. This is If I Were You, hosted by Jake and Amir. It's good always.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.